Down through the ages, a traditional form has evolved for this type of speech, which is some old fart, his best years behind him, who, over the course of his life, has made a series of dreadful mistakes, that would be me, gives heartfelt advice to a group of shining, energetic young people with all of their best years ahead of them, that would be you. And I intend to respect that tradition. Now, one useful thing you can do with old people, in addition to borrowing money from them or getting them to do one of their old-time dances so you can watch while laughing, is ask, looking back, what do you regret? And they'll tell you. Sometimes, as you know, they'll tell you even if you haven't asked. Sometimes, even when you've specifically requested that they not tell you, they'll tell you. So, what do I regret? Being poor from time to time? Not really. Working terrible jobs like knuckle puller in a slaughterhouse? And don't even ask what that entails. No, I don't regret that. Skinny dipping in a river in Sumatra, a little buzzed, and looking up and seeing like 300 monkeys sitting on a pipeline pooping down into the river in which I was swimming, with my mouth open, naked, and getting deathly ill afterward and staying sick for the next 7 months. Honestly, no. Do I regret the occasional humiliation, like once playing hockey in front of a big crowd, including this girl I really liked, I somehow managed while falling and emitting this weird whooping noise to score on my own goalie, while also sending my stick flying into the crowd, nearly hitting that girl? No, I don't even regret that. But here's something I do regret. In 7th grade, this new kid joined our class. In the interest of confidentiality, her convocation speech name will be Ellen. Ellen was small, shy. She wore these blue cat's eye glasses that at the time only old ladies wore. When nervous, which was pretty much always, she had a habit of taking a strand of hair into her mouth and chewing on it. So she came to our school and our neighborhood and was mostly ignored, occasionally teased, "Your hair tastes good," that sort of thing. I could see this hurt her. I still remember the way she'd look after such an insult, eyes cast down, a little gut kicked, as if, having just been reminded of her place in things, she was trying, as much as possible, to disappear. After a while, she'd drift away, hair strands still in her mouth. At home, I imagined, after school, her mother would say, you know, "How was your day, sweetie?" And she'd say, "Oh, fine." And her mother would say, "Making any friends?" And she'd go, "Sure, lots." Sometimes I'd see her hanging around alone in her front yard, as if afraid to leave it. And then they moved. That was it. No tragedy, no big final hazing. One day she was there, next day she wasn't. End of story. Now, why do I regret that? Why, 42 years later, am I still thinking about it? Relative to most of the other kids, I was actually pretty nice to her. I've never said an unkind word to her. In fact, I sometimes even mildly defended her. But still, it bothers me. So here's something I know to be true, although it's a little corny, and I don't quite know what to do with it. What I regret most of my life are failures of kindness. Those moments when another human being was there in front of me, suffering, and I responded sensibly, reservedly, mildly. Or, to look at it from the other end of the telescope, who in your life do you remember most fondly, with the most undeniable feelings of warmth? Those who were kindest to you, I bet. It's a little facile, maybe, and certainly hard to implement, but I'd say as a goal in life, you could do worse than try to be kinder. Now, the million-dollar question, what's our problem? Why aren't we kinder? Here's what I think. Each of us is born with a series of built-in confusions that are probably somehow Darwinian. These are, 1, we're central to the universe. That is, our personal story is the main and most interesting story. The only story, really. 2, we're separate from the universe. There's us, and then out there, all that other junk. Dogs and swing sets and the state of Nebraska and low-hanging clouds and, you know, other people. And 3, we're permanent. Death is real, okay, sure, for you, but not for me.